Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and His Spirit like a dove will descend.
Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of the late Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with, Death Comes to All, as we pick up in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
And so he said, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So there's no matter how well you live or how evil you live, there's one event, we all die. We can't escape it. And the same thing happens to all of us. The same event comes to all, whether you're righteous or wicked. Now, it is true that we will all experience physical death. However, we will not all experience spiritual death. There are some of us who have experienced new life, spiritual life. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. Those who are not born again will experience physical death, and then they will experience the second death. They already are spiritually dead, but they will experience the second death, and that is that eternal separation from God. Two definitions in the Bible for death. The one is the separation of your consciousness from your body. The second definition is the separation of your consciousness from God. The separation of your consciousness from your body is physical death. The separation of your consciousness from God is spiritual death. There are some people who are spiritually dead who are physically alive. If you do not have a consciousness of God, if you don't live in that conscious awareness of God, if you don't take God into account in your life, if you're not actively seeking His guidance, His counsel, if you don't have fellowship and relationship with God, you are spiritually dead. Your consciousness is separated from God. You don't think about God in a close, intimate way. And so you're dead spiritually. But that separation from God will be eternal. Now, those who do live through Jesus Christ, in a conscious relationship with God, in fellowship, communion, oneness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have this fellowship with each other, as the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. You'll never die spiritually. You have eternal life. Though one day physically, your consciousness will leave your body, or your spirit will leave your body, it'll only be a metamorphosis, for your spirit will move from this body into a new body. Paul the Apostle said, we know that when this earthly tent, the body in which we presently live, goes back to dust, we have a building of God, a new building, a new house to live in. It's not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. So then, we who are still living in these bodies do groan earnestly, desiring to be freed from the limitations of this body, not that I would be an unembodied spirit, but my desire is to be clothed upon with a body which is from heaven. For I know that as long as I'm still living in this body, I'm absent from my Lord, but I would choose rather to be absent from this body that I might be present with the Lord. So the metamorphosis. Paul speaks of the necessity of the metamorphosis. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Therefore, This mortal must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. The change, the metamorphosis, the change of body. It's a necessity to enter the kingdom of heaven. So where Solomon says, hey, they all die, so, you know, party it up, man. Wrong conclusion. There are some who die to be eternally separated from God, and others who death is nothing more than just the metamorphosis. You'll never be separated from God and from the consciousness of God. For to him that is joined to all of the living, there is hope. In other words, as long as you're alive, you're hope. Man, when you're dead, it's all over. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, a lion is stronger than a dog, and a dog would be no competition for a lion, unless it's dead. And so a living dog, better than a dead lion. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill your body, and after that they have no power. But rather fear him who, after the body is destroyed, is able to cast both your soul and spirit into Gehenna. Yes, that's the one you should fear. The one who is able to cast soul and spirit into Gehenna. Death after death. This is the second death, the scripture said. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now, as I said, Solomon is expressing opinions that are not biblical. For the living know that they shall die. That's for the most part true. There are some people that don't believe they're going to die. They somehow think they're immortal, but they're not. But the dead know not anything. Not so. Now, Job expressed the same feeling, talking of his misery. He said, oh, that I were dead, you know, where you're oblivious, where you know nothing and all. It's just sort of in this void and all. It is interesting that when God came on the scene and began to talk with Job, the first thing God did was rebuke Job for all of the things he was talking about of which he knew nothing. Words without knowledge, God said. Darkeneth counsel with words without knowledge. And then God said, have you been beyond the gates of death? Do you really know what's there? Job had been talking about, oh, I wish I were dead, where the dead know nothing idea. If I were only dead. And God said, have you been beyond the gates? Do you know what's there? He rebuked him for all of this talking of stuff that he didn't know anything about. Now, who do you suppose would really know about what happens after a person's spirit leaves their body? I would say probably the most authoritative person in the Bible on that subject would be Jesus. I would say he would know quite a bit about what happened to a person after they were dead. What does Jesus say? There was a certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day. Moreover, there was a poor man that was brought daily and laid at his gate. He was covered with sores, and he ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the poor man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Moreover, the rich man also died, and in hell, the grave, Sheol, Hades in Greek, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Father Abraham afar off and Lazarus there being comforted in his bosom, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to me that he may take and put his finger in some water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this heat. And Abraham said unto him, son, remember that you in your lifetime had the good things and Lazarus the evil. Now he is comforted while you're tormented. And besides this, there is between us a gulf that has been fixed, and it's impossible for these that are here to come over there, or for you that are there to come over here. Then I pray thee, Abraham, if he cannot come over here, then send him back to my brothers and warn them lest they come to this horrible place. And Abraham said, they have the law and the prophets, and they will not believe them, neither will they believe, though one should come back from the dead. Now that's what Jesus said about consciousness as far as the dead are concerned. You see, the real you isn't the body. When they place your body in the ground, that's not the end. You go on. Consciously, your spirit continues to exist. And spirits are conscious and intelligent beings. Angels are spirits. God is a spirit. Angels are unembodied spirits, except as when they choose to come in a bodily form, which they can do. But they are conscious beings, different bodies. And as Paul said, there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. That is, there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. And we have been living in an earthly body. Someday we'll have a heavenly body. But you're still spirit. You'll just be in a different body that won't have as many restrictions, material restrictions, as this body. So Solomon is expressing thoughts that are not biblical. For the dead know not anything, not so they do. Neither have they any more a reward, that's not so. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Talking about I'm going to die soon. But there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord our righteous judge shall give to me. There is a reward for those who have lived for God. For the memory of them is forgotten. That's probably true. You forget the dead after a few generations. I can't even tell you my great-grandfather's names. My great-grandkids probably won't know my name if the world goes on that long. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. This is true. The corpse doesn't love you anymore. Hatred, envy, it's all over. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now, we will be coming back to live upon the earth for 1,000 years with Christ. So we will have a portion in the kingdom age. Jesus promises those that overcome that they will reign with him on the earth. So, again, looking at things from a materialistic standpoint, apart from God and apart from the knowledge of God, again, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your works. So, again, a conclusion of just make the best of life. You know, when you're dead, it's all over, so make the best of life. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for his sake, then you'll really find it. And that was Solomon's problem. He tried to find satisfaction and fulfillment in this life apart from a relationship with God. Impossible. So, let your garments always be white. Let your head lack no ointment. Just lavish things upon yourself. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love, all of the days of the life of your emptiness, which he has given you under the sun, the days of emptiness, for that is your portion in this life and in your labor which you have taken under the sun. So again, just that idea of exact what joys and pleasures that you can out of life because of the emptiness of it. And that's all you're going to get. That's your reward. That's all she wrote for you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. Again, wrong. He's speaking from a purely human, materialistic standpoint. He's just saying, do what you can, do the best you can, because, when you're dead, it's all over. There's nothing there. There's no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. The Bible in the New Testament tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. You see, Solomon's big mistake is he lived his life for himself, for his own pleasures. These were the conclusions he came to. It's empty. Those following the New Testament exhortation, whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. Do it for God's glory. If you live for God's glory, you'll find that your life will be very rich and very satisfying. Live for your own glory, your life is going to be empty. You'll be like Solomon. And so I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. So it doesn't matter how fast you are, how strong you are, how wise you are, how filled with understanding, or how skillful. As far as success in life, it's all a matter of chance, blind chance. Time and chance happeneth to them all. So man who is fast may not win the race. A man who is strong might not win the battle. A man who is wise may not have bread. Time and chance happeneth to them all. That, again, is purely worldly thinking and worldly philosophy. It is sort of a fatalism. The Bible said that God is in control of our lives and all things are working together for good. There is a purpose and a plan of God for my life, and nothing happens to me by accident. I don't live by chance. I live by divine appointments, and God brings into my life those things that He knows are best for me. And thus, I do not subscribe to this philosophy of Solomon's, but I believe that God's hand is upon my life, has been upon my life, and will continue to be upon my life, bringing into my life that which He knows is best for me. And nothing happens to me by accident. It is appointed of God, and it is intended for my good. All things, not some things, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. For man also knows not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. So we don't know what time we might be taken, like fish that are taken in an evil net, birds that are caught in a snare. So men are snared, and it falls suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. And so now he goes into a new thought. This is the wisdom. I saw this and I thought this was great. There was a little city, and there were a few men in it. And there came a great king against it, and he besieged it, and he built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in this little city a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, and yet no one remembered that same poor little man. Then I said, well, wisdom is better than strength. Here's a powerful king. He comes and besieges the city, sets his bulwarks against it. But this wise little man, poor little man, but he was wise, and he devised a strategy by which he delivered the city from the king. But they forgot who he was. So wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner can destroy a lot of good. So observations of life, conclusions that he drew from those observations. Solomon's philosophy was that of eat, drink, and be merry. This is your portion in life. The Lord said, if you will come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. For what will it profit you if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Different, diverse philosophies. There are many people who buy into Solomon's philosophy. Life is a party. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's all you're going to get. There are people who are living very empty, shallow lives following that philosophy. And like Solomon, they are becoming bitter and cynical. There are many who have opted for the philosophy of Jesus, denying self to take up the cross to follow him, and they have found that life is rich, blessed, fulfilling.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ecclesiastes in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues with A Little Folly. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you'd like to secure a copy of today's message, simply order Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3, when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, we encourage you to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, all this can be found at thewordfortoday.org. If you wish to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD. And our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. For those of you preferring to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck with today's closing comments.
Losing your life for Christ's sake, taking up your cross to follow him, just thrilled that you can bear fruit, eternal fruit for God's glory. Lives that count are lives that are lived for Jesus Christ. Lives that are fulfilling are lives that are lived for Jesus Christ. Oh, don't buy into Solomon's philosophy. You'll end up like Solomon, jaded, cynical, miserable, empty. But live your life for Christ. Follow him, and the joy never ceases.
I just got the Word for Today Bible, and I'm really enjoying the commentaries by Pastor Chuck. Listen to this one from the book of Joshua.
You see, God has already gone before me. God is already there tomorrow. Joshua is telling them, tomorrow God is going to do wonders in your eyes. And that's the thing that I need to hold in my mind.
Yeah, that's really good. I have one too from the book of Nehemiah.
So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and then they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what expository teaching is all about. That's what we have devoted our ministry to, the study of God's Word.
The Word for Today Bible is available in leather and paperback editions with more commentaries by Pastor Chuck, simply teaching the Word of God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. you can read a preview of the Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by the Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.